to my newborn baby boy. The day you arrived was one of the happiest days of my life. Right up there with the day I bought my RV from that guy on the internet and insured it with Progressive. What a deal. Just know, son, I'll always be here for you. And by here, I mean in the middle of absolutely nowhere. In my RV.
Protect your baby with an RV policy from Progressive. Take as little as 4 minutes to see what you could save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 29th day, Memorial Day of May 2023. And I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance, and tonight we have, again, hosted on this Memorial Day, none other than that very, very capable young fellow named Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody. And turn up your mic, Pastor.
Turn up the mic. Let me see. How's that? Is that any better?
A little bit.
Okay, there. There you go. All right, very good. Now, my good partner, Pastor Joe, is unable to be with us here tonight, and so I'm going to do this solo tonight. But you know what? It was an interesting thing. I had a different program planned, but I got such a response off of yesterday's message, yesterday's Memorial Day service message, that I thought, well, because that didn't go out over the whole country. Maybe it did over the internet, I guess. But so I thought, you know what? If it's, you know, if people enjoyed it that much, let's do it again. And that's what I'm going to do. And then also I'm going to open the phone lines later on and take calls and just get some responses from some what you people think Memorial Day is all about. Because I can tell you, I was watching on the Jesse Waters show, and they were interviewing these young people, these almost naked young women on the beach, and they didn't know what Memorial Day was about. In fact, they didn't even know, they didn't even know who the United States fought with during the War for Independence. No, sir, they didn't know that. They didn't know who we fought in World War I. And when asked about the Civil War, the one lady who I thought would have been the best, she seemed to be the brightest, she said, well, it was northern countries that fought against southern countries. And, well, it's an amazing thing. When asked about what the Cold War, when asked what the Cold War was about, the young woman said it was fought during the wintertime. Yeah, very, very interesting. Folks, let me tell you, it's not funny. This is The indoctrination into cultural dumbness is unbelievable in the so-called... And these are college kids. These are college kids. It's an amazing thing. But I want to say thank you to the Commander Ken Hunter and the acting adjutant T-Zone Huang for inviting me to come and speak today at the Veterans Park Memorial. And these folks, they represent the American Legion Post 663. And I wanted to say, too, that we had, it was a lot of people showed up. Several hundred people came. And there were a parade. And you had the fire department, the sheriff's department, and different churches. And I was asked to give both the invocation and the benediction. And it was a great time out there. The weather was absolutely perfect. But, you know, it was the... being there with all of those people that love freedom and love America, that understood what we were commemorating, that was a blessing. Anyhow, the title of the message was, The Lord is a Man of War. The Lord is a Man of War. Now, often people you'll hear today say, thank you for your service. But how often do we thank the ultimate warrior for his service? And that's what we need to do each and every day, because he paid the ultimate price. He paid a price far beyond anything that we could even begin to comprehend. And we're going to start tonight in Exodus chapter 15. And here we're going to start with the song of Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. And spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him in a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Well, it's an interesting thing, because this song of Moses here was the very first song in the Bible, in Scripture, and it's also the very last song. As we go through this, we will see in Revelation chapter 15. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed them the pieces, the enemy. Now, here, all through the scripture, the right hand represents judgment and righteousness and a place of honor. Judgment, righteousness, and a place of honor. And we see that David would sit at the right hand of the Lord Jesus. We see that the Lord Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. But we also see how, and that's the place of honor, we also see how when his hand is stretched out still, that's judgment. That is judgment. And in the generations of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with a blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap. And the depths congealed in the heart of the sea. That word congealed, that means that it's become as a gel, like gelatin. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them up. Again, here is a show of judgment. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in the strength into the holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling like take hold upon them, and all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. The generations of thine arm, they shall be as still as stones till thy people pass over. O Lord, till thy people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the house of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen unto the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels, with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The Lord and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Now, here, it's an interesting thing, because this is the only time in the entire Bible that Miriam is mentioned as a prophetess. I want to turn over to Revelation chapter 15. And as I said, that was the Song of Moses there was in Exodus 15, was the first time, the first song in all of the Bible. And the last song is right here. Now, it is also in chapter 15 and in verse 3. And in Exodus 15:3, we know that the Lord is a man of war, and it referred to the Song of Moses. And now we read this in Romans 15, or not Romans, Revelation 15. "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven plagues, for in them is filled up with the wrath of God." Well, here, this is actually the third sign, the third great sign seen by John in heaven, enabling him to look forward to the glorious, glorious future after, well, after the final series of judgments have cleansed the earth. The seven last plagues, specifically said to be a sign. So the seven angels must be symbolic, representing all the angelic hosts who eagerly anticipate the complete takeover of his inheritance by the Lamb, and who are thus ready to send the seven last plagues on the earth. Note that these are the last plagues, not just a parallel repetition of the seven scroll judgments and the seven trumpet judgments. The seventh seal produces the seven trumpets, and the seventh trumpet encompasses the seven vials of wrath. Well, and that's with the seven last plagues. "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." And so here, he is the King of all of the saints. Now, Christ is our King, and he's the King of kings and lords of lords. And as being the King of all the saints, he has fought for his saints in the past. We see it many, many times. As right there we see it. And he will be doing it in the future. And nonetheless, but we ourselves will be fighting with him against the enemies. We will be under his command. So that will be my next commander-in-chief, folks. And now I want to turn over to Joshua as we look here at the ultimate warrior. The ultimate warrior. And in Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, we read this. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, they lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and beheld, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now, listen, boy, I'm going to tell you, that took a lot of courage, because this is a Christophany. When a Christophany is the Lord Jesus himself appearing as a man. Now, here, it had to be an awesome sight. He stood there, and he had his sword drawn. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I. Now come. Now here's that. I am that I am, and am I. Here, Joshua understood that was a name for the Lord himself. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. And he did worship, and he said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? In other words, Lord, I am here to serve you. What is it? It's not, the Lord is telling him this. No, 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 no. I didn't come here to fight on your side. You're here to fight on my side. And he goes on, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, there are those that would say, as your liberal, so-called liberal theologians, that this was not a Christophany, this was simply an angel there. There's a real, real problem with that. Or some might even say it was just simply another man. The problem is this. First of all, had it been an angel, he would have rebuked Joshua instantly for falling on his knees and worshiping. And number two, you will only find holy ground where the Lord is. Holy ground is only found in the presence of the Lord. And so here, those two facts alone make it absolutely the fact that, yes, indeed, this is the captain of the host. This is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. This is the Christ himself. And then I want to take you over to Revelation 19. And in Revelation 19, we read, starting with verse 11. Now here, this is our Lord getting ready to terminate the tribulation along with his army. Now he will put an end to the woke enemies of the world. I'm going to take a second and just take a sip here. When you do a lot of speaking, a lot of preaching, sometimes the old vocal cords can get a little dry. And here, we're going to start with verse 11 of Revelation 19. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now let me just say this. A lot of people misunderstand when On his head were many crowns, and people get a picture about having one crown on top of another crown on top of another crown. No, no, no. On a crown there, you'll have a signet. And on that crown, the signets will be crowns themselves, crowns of righteousness, crowns of truth, crowns of all of the righteous characteristics of our Lord himself. And so these will all be crowns upon that. And he goes on to say, this is this is embarrassing, folks, when I have a Bible and these pages are so thin it's sometimes hard to get them apart, but I did it. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now that blood that his vesture was dipped in is the blood of the woke armies, of the armies of the world. You might remember when Chaplain McTurnan and myself got into our controversy here some years ago with the War College in the Pentagon, where they had issued a statement stating that Christians really should not serve in the military. And they actually would use this passage and a passage that we're about to go to say, well, here, because their allegiance is towards Christ and not towards the United Nations, not towards the New World Order. Well, that's right. Our allegiance is towards Christ, and it should be. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. Now, these armies in heaven consists of four categories of the saints. There are four different categories of the saints. You start with the very first time the word saints was used in Scripture was to identify angels. Angels were referred to as saints. And then you have the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and now the tribulation saints will be in play here. And so these saints, and that's us. If you're a born-again believing Christian listening to this tonight, you will be amongst that group. And we will not be there in this army. We will be in the army of the Lord. We will not be there as spectators. He tells you right here, okay? And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, clean, are white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. And by the way, here people will get a picture of, you know, hundreds of millions of Christians riding white horses heading back towards earth from the third heaven. It could be billions of miles. No, that's not what he's talking about. It's dimensions. All through Scripture, you will see where a door will open and God will step out. If you go back in the days where Moses was upon the mountain, in the cloud upon the mountain, and the door opened and God stepped out. We see there when Jacob was looked just above his head and a door opened and a ladder came down and the angels were going up and down. We saw there in the upper room where the apostles were assembled, and all of a sudden the door opens and Jesus steps out. He's right in front of, in the midst of them. And then here in chapter 4 of Revelation, just above John, a door opens and John is caught up into heaven. So it's a dimensional thing. It's not that you have hundreds of millions of saints traveling billions of miles across space. God's technology is, do you remember Star Trek and Beam Me Up, Scotty? Much greater than what Captain Kirk had. And we'll be back right after this. And we're going to a break.
Why are you marching, son? I'd really like to know. Is it because of Valley Forge or perhaps the Alamo? Or won it by land, to it by sea? A trumpet's call, the will to be free? What of a man who stood straight and tall, who wept silent tears when he saw brave men fall? No matter, no difference, the blue or the gray, all were his brothers. How often he'd pray. And what of Antietam, that now peaceful stream where the water blood red glittered and gleamed? Appomattox, Chickamauga, Vicksburg, Bull Run, Cumberland, Gettysburg, and then Washington. Why are you marching, son? In Flanders' field, how proud were they whose forms beneath the poppies lay? Men who saw Verdun, died at the Marne, Soissons, and those who tried the fearful foe at Chateau Thierry, who fought, bled, whose hearts grew weary, but in whose minds one thought kept churning, that the torch of liberty keep burning. Why are you marching, son? The plain swarmed in, and the rising sun glowed fiercely on the evil done, men whose blood runs through our veins, men who died, whose remains lie forever locked in waters deep. Now is it right that they should sleep while the warm sea laps at a twisted hull and see the torch of liberty grow dull? Anzio, Cassino, Po, Saint-Mary-Glace, Limon, St. Lo, Garda Lake and Buchenwald, on and on the roll is called. And why? Why are you marching, son? Bugles shrilled in the frozen night, and at first dawn, the awful sight of seas of men, row after row left to die on blood-stained snow. Busan, Pyongyang, Suwon, Gyeongju, and blood-red ran the swift Yalu. In South Vietnam, the big guns roared, and once again we fought a war. To honor a pledge our nation gave, to help that little country save her people from the certainty that she'd be ruled by tyranny. No matter where the big guns roar, our fighting men, like those before, take the torch we all held dear and face freedom's enemies without fear. Our fathers died from sea to sea and blessed the torch of liberty. Why? Why are you marching, son?
Alrighty, we are back, and I know why I marched. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of all them that sit on them and the flesh of men both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, and the false prophet, and wrought miracles before him, which he deceived, that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Well, here we see that the Lord is leaving the third heaven with all of his armies. That's the four categories of saints. And he's heading back to earth now, and the door will open, and suddenly we're going to go over to Zechariah chapter 14. And in Zechariah chapter 14, we see the Lord and all of his saints returning to earth. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the horse and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of thy people shall not be cut off from thy city. Well, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, Israel is a very small country, but Jerusalem is a very large city. It is a very large city. And I can just picture the armies of the world. Now, he's gathering all the armies of the world, and this includes those of the United States. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Well, the day of battle is what where we started out today with the song of Moses when he had taken Israel out of Egypt. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north and toward the south, and half of it toward the south. Now let me just remind you, the Lord is going to, he's going to come back, and his feet will stand in the exact same place as he stood when he left this world, and he went to reign in heaven. Now, here we see the Lord is immutable. He does things the same way, over always, because he gets them right every time. And just as he parted the Red Sea to the north and to the south, now he's parting this mountain. He's going to part the Mount of Olives to the north and to the south. And his people will go through this. Those one-third of all of Israel will go through into Shiloh. And how do you know that? Well, let me go back here to chapter 13, and I will read verse 9, the last verse. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. So one-third of all Israel will be going with him. Now, he goes and he says, you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azalea. And you shall flee like you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. Now, this earthquake was so great. It was such a great earthquake, and so many people perished, that here it is now. It's 300 years later, and they're still talking about this earthquake as it was yesterday. And the Lord my God shall come, and all of his saints with thee. Now, you got to picture this. Here, the Lord has done parted the mountain, the Mount of Olives. Israel has gone through, pursuing Israel in hot pursuit, are the armies of the world. Now, it's going to be different this time. It's not like it was in the days of Pharaoh, where Pharaoh's army pursued Israel in chariots with horses and swordsmen and spears. No, this is going to be the armies of the world. You're going to be high tech. You're going to have Black Hawk helicopters. You're going to have laser weapons and all kinds of new weaponry, even things that most people don't know about right now that we have. They're going to be there to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ and his armies. Now, here's the good news for us folks, and that is we will be there in glorified bodies. Glorified bodies. What does that mean? That means that our bodies cannot die. They cannot die. So when you go to war, the object of the war is for you to kill more of the enemy than they kill of you. That's the way it's supposed to work, right? Well, here in this case, we're going to have a great advantage since we can die. And we're going to have powers, okay, far, far beyond what any of the armies of the world have. We'll be fighting right along with angels with us. And we're going to have, now we will be judging angels. So we will probably have powers every bit as great or maybe even greater than the angels. He goes on to say, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, one day nor Lord nor not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go forth from Jerusalem, half toward the former sea, and half toward of them toward the hinder sea, in the summer and winter shall be. Now, here, what you're seeing here is you're going to have, well, first of all, what we just written here is going to be a supernatural phenomenon. But then, these two rivers, they're going to come out right out from under the Lord's throne. The Lord Jesus will rebuild his temple, and he will have a throne in that. And out from underneath that throne will come two rivers. One will go into the Dead Sea, and when that river flows into the Dead Sea, it will bring living waters. It's living waters. It will no longer be a dead sea. Life will be revived in that sea. It'll be teeming with life. And all around the shoreline, you'll have vegetation. It'll be a lush. Now, to find out more about that, actually, all you have to do is go over to Ezekiel chapter 47 and read verses 1 through 12. And then the other river runs into the Mediterranean Sea. And again, so these two rivers, they're going to water the entire earth. They'll water the entire earth. Now, this is all going to take place during the millennial kingdom. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Now all the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Ramoth, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hanael unto the king's winepress. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Now, here, for those at this time, for those that have attacked the Jews, those that have rebelled against the Lord, he brings this plague. Now, folks, this plague sounds a whole lot like a neutron bomb. In fact, it sounds exactly what happens when a neutron bomb, when you're exposed to a neutron bomb. What it does is literally melt your soft organs, like your tongue and your eyes, and you know, your liver, your heart will melt in its place. And, you know, when I was a kid, I used to watch some of the boys got a kick out of putting salt on snails and watching them melt. Well, here, this is exactly what a neutron bomb does. And you say, well, are you telling me that God would use a neutron bomb upon these people? Well, it's more like the armies of the world nuking each other. And why do I say that? Well, let's go ahead and read. And this shall be the plague where the Lord shall smite all the people that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass that in that day a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah shall also fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen around about shall be gathered together, gold, silver, and apparel in abundance. Well, that's why I believe that they're going to do it to each other. And so shall be the plague of the horse and of the mule and of the camel and of the ass and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents at this plague. And it shall come to pass that every one that left off of the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King and the Lord of hosts and to keep the feasts of the tabernacles. And it shall come, and it shall be, that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth until Jerusalem to worship the King and the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt shall go not up and come not, they have no rain. There shall be a plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and every Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and they shall sacrifice, shall come and take them, and seeth therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Well, here, when the Lord is ruling, the Lord will be ruling on earth. Judgment will be instantaneously. People, babies that are born on the very first day of this millennial kingdom will live the entire 1,000 years of the entire of the millennial kingdom. Here, people might harvest anger towards the Lord, but they won't be able, if they come out in a rebellious way, judgment will take place right then. The great judge will be there and take place. Nations that fail, if they fail to come and honor, all of those nations, well, if they fail to attend the Feast of Tabernacles, for example, they will have no water. There will be no rain upon the land. Now, I wanted to say that today we have those liberal preachers, if you will, on the left that say that Jesus was a pacifist, folks. Their purpose in doing so is to convince the biblically illiterate that resistance to tyranny is really disobedience to God, not obedience, as the Bible teaches. Now, that's an interesting thing, because what we just read about the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings makes it really clear that he's by no means a pacifist. And also, there are those that will say that Jesus was non-judgmental. And when it came to sin, he was a man of tolerance. Well, that could not possibly be farther from the truth. When it came to sin, there was no more intolerant man that ever walked the face of the earth than the Lord Jesus Christ. When a woman was taken in adultery, he told her to go and sin no more. He didn't say go and sin not so much, but go and sin no more. Now, our founding fathers didn't buy what the left was preaching then and what the left is preaching now. They didn't buy that lie for a minute, not even for 1 minute. They knew that their rights came from God, not from government. They knew that the price of liberty would be high and costly, a very costly price. They knew that tyrants were in abundance, and their goal was to take away the freedom of the masses and to control every aspect of their lives. They knew that man's sinful nature, those apart from the Christian faith, would be compelled by their lust and their greed for power and wealth to take away the life and liberty and happiness of God's people. They were of the mindset that it was better to die free than to live in bondage. And for their posterity and that of their children, they were willing to pay freedom's price with their own blood. This love for freedom has been passed down from generation to generation, from the war for independence until this very present day. The tyrant's threat is now great. It's greater than it ever has been. And the will of the American patriot, and I'm talking about the American patriot, is once again being tested. Do we, as a once great and a once blessed nation, we were so blessed with freedom. We were such a freedom-loving people. Do we still have the will to stand for what's right? Have we allowed ourselves to become so indoctrinated with the spewing of cultural Marxism that we no longer have the will to run to the fight against such tyranny? Will we overcome the onslaught of revisionist history and remember the truth of those that came before us? Will we remember their courage and character and faith that bought us the greatest freedom, prosperity, and happiness that the world has ever known? Will we remember that the price they paid was with their own blood? Are we willing to honor their memories by doing as much for our children and their children and God and country? I believe that I speak for the heart of true Americans when I say we will never accept or be ruled by your Antichrist, woke, satanic, Marxist, immoral tyranny. People, I hear it every day when people are saying that China has now become our worst enemy. And then Russia. No, 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 no. It's not China. It's not Russia. Our worst enemy is right here in this country today. Wake up, people. They're called Democrats. They're the ones. They're right here today. They want to take away your freedom. They want to take away your property. They want to take away your posterity. They want to take away your lives. They really do. They're doing it. They're doing it with bioweapons that they call vaccinations. They're doing it with abortion. They're doing it in every way that they can. And wake up. They're here. It's the enemy walks among you. They're called the mainstream media. These people, they will tell any lie that they are told to tell you, and they will call it a narrative. They will betray you as they have been betraying you. You have a corrupt government. You have an Antichrist, Marxist, communist in the White House. They have infiltrated every aspect of our society. But greater is he that is in the world. Greater is he in us that is in us than is in the world. And God is a majority of one. Right now, they want to change the DNA of all humans. The last time they tried that, brought on a flood, which eliminated 8 billion people from the earth. Remember, God always does things the same way. He says, I'm the same today, tomorrow, and forever. He doesn't change. And when I said this, that I believe that I speak for the heart of the true Americans, I also said that, and I know that I speak for this congregation as I preached this message yesterday morning in the church. I knew as I looked out there that I could count on every single person in there, sitting in there, felt the same way I do. We will never, ever accept it or be ruled again by your woke, Antichrist, satanic, Marxist, immoral tyranny. We will die on our feet before we will live on our knees. We will not rest until America is once again one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Until America is as the America should the Lord tarry and should the Lord allow, until America is the America that God gave us, we will fight to take our country back. We're going to a break, and when I come back from the break, I want to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673 nationwide. And I want to get some, well, I want to hear from you folks out there. What does Memorial Day mean to you? Be right back after this. Don't go away. A whole lot more to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Let's see, you've applied for our open position for account representative?
Yeah, that's the one.
Great. I see you went to UC Berkeley.
It was really awesome. We had several sit-ins to protest oppressive capitalism.
Oh, and how about your skills for this position?
Oh, yes. I know all about how to spot microaggressions and root out privilege.
We don't really do that here. We do accounting and finance consulting.
Do you have any safe spaces?
Safe spaces?
Yes, where people can go to get away away from the colonialist mentality. As long as there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, we'll be fine.
Life's too short to waste your time on bad hires. I'm Andrew Krapischetz, the CEO and founder of RedBalloon.Work. Every week, tens of thousands of reliable, career-minded job seekers visit RedBalloon.Work without all that woke nonsense. Post your open jobs at RedBalloon.Work. And if you put in promo code SALEM, you'll receive 10% off your first month's job postings.